Hi, good morning. Girls and boys, I want to tell you that in Nehemiah 8:10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." So girls and boys, I want you to be sure to read what's in your Bible. It's very important. In Psalm 119:105, it says, "The word is a lamp to my feet," where I'm going, "and a light to my path." I lived in White Plains, New York for the first 9 years of my life. We always attended church and is where I first learned to memorize scripture. I memorized 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. But being in church and Sunday school, but being in a garage doesn't make me a car, and being in church doesn't make me a Christian or attending Sunday school. At 10 years old, we moved to St. Pete, Florida. I was a slow learner, learning things the hard way. I was a learner and full of mischief. When I turned 11 years old, I joined Boy Scouts. I started to learn the 12 points of the Scout Law. Reciting the Scout Oath, I promised to do my best, to do my duty to God and my country, to obey the Scout Law, and to help other people at all times. I promised to obey the Scout Law and keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. God's word says in Joel 2:32 and Romans 10:13, "Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." At the end of sixth grade in Melbourne, my friend Glenn Johnson invited me to go to vacation Bible school. At the end of the week, the pastor got up and gave an invitation to follow the person we talked about all week. So I was there at the age of 12. I asked Jesus into my heart, wash my sins away, and live in me. Nothing seemed to change. I was still a scrawny kid headed the wrong way. Fast forward, our family moved twice and ended up here in Orlando, Florida, where my life was rocked into reality. At the time, I was junior at Oak Ridge High School, and our swim team captain, Mark Luton, was killed in a tragic accident. He was an awesome friend, a Christian mentor, and an awesome leader under the leadership of Coach Carl Dragstead. That's when I was invited to student life and rededicated my life to Jesus. I started wearing a cross as a reminder to follow him and not me. One of our members explained Crew's blue Bible booklet to me, and I invited the Holy Spirit to live in and through me. My relationship with the Lord grew immensely during that time, and my appreciation and love for our country. Good things started to happen. I was a little more focused, started to get along better with people. My time was taken up with scouting, the swim team, writing, and doodling. In 1973, I married my high school sweetheart, Mary Bomber. To God's glory, we just celebrated 52 years of marriage. Our marriage is based on the unsurpassing love, grace, and mercy of the Lord and the Word of God. She is an amazing and talented woman, and we love each other very much, and we pray for and with each other every day. I'm amazed with gratitude and praise how God moves and works in and through us in incredible ways. For instance, when we were childless, many people prayed, and the Lord answered our prayers through the adoption of our daughter, Tiffany. What a delight and a gift she is. We have two beautiful daughters, Savannah and Bailey, who love Jesus and are a delight. When our marriage was rocky, like a ship tossed about on a stormy sea, it was only by God's amazing grace and love taught by His Word and the power of the Holy Spirit which held us together. Our life verse, our marriage verse, is Ephesians 4, 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor be put away from you with all malice. Get rid of it. Instead, be tenderhearted, loving each other, forgiving each other as God through Christ forgives us. Amen. And so during that time, we wore out the Bible, not our marriage. Children, wear out the Bible and not yourself. And now each day, the Word of God brings stability and peace into my life, every day while applying it to my life. Now each day, I clothe myself in the armor of God. In the precious name of Jesus, the enemy flees. My anger issues are over, and I'm no longer feel strangled by strongholds that fought for first place. They don't have a hold on me. They're washed away by the blood of Jesus, and my sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Love is an action. Why do I show love and love you? God loves me first. I would be remiss to think I did it by myself. Besides my wife, I have many people, friends and family, hundreds of other people throughout the years, and many of you. I want to say thank you so much. I'm thankful for each one of you. To God be the glory. This is my story.
Thank you, Carl. Another red chair story. We've got a few more before we get to the end of the year, and it's always a joy to hear all the great, wonderful stories. Thank you, Carl. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, and let's look up on the screen, and we're going to look at another story. His name is Simeon. And we're going to look at his story, and we're starting a brand new series here at Christmas, and it's called The Unlikely Characters of Christmas, The Story of Jesus. So today we're going to look at a guy many of you may not know of. His name is Simeon. I mean, the shepherds and the wise men and Joseph and Mary, they get a lot of the highlights in Christmas. But Simeon is an incredible story of God's grace and God's goodness, incredible story of waiting in hopeful expectation. So we're going to look at that today. If you're with me this morning, let me hear a big amen. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 21. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting. Just like I'm waiting. And for some of you, I'm driving you crazy right now. Because we don't like to wait. He was waiting 113 years. And he was found with hopeful expectation. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he would see the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory for your people Israel. And the child's father and mother marveled at what he said. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." We're talking about waiting in hopeful expectation. We got 40 days, and the buildup is incredible. We're waiting for December 25th, waiting for the coming of Jesus. And in these next 40 days, my prayer and my passion is that we will prepare our hearts for a new revelation of who Jesus is, to prepare him and to celebrate the beautiful gift that Jesus is to the world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's look at a couple quotes of famous people. St. Augustine says, "Hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are, and courage to see that they do not remain the way they are." Charles Spurgeon said this, "Hope is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, but only to be discovered in the night of adversity." N.L. Wright says this, "Hope is what happens when we allow the fresh air of the Spirit to breathe through the dusty rooms of our discontent." Tim Keller says this, "Biblical hope is a confident expectation, longing for a sure thing." St. John says this, "He who hopes for something great is not broken by small troubles." Emily Dickinson said this, "Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words, and it never stops at all." And the great Dr. Martin Luther King says this, "We must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope." Amen. See, Simeon was filled with hope. He was 113 years old, and he'd been promised that one day Jesus was going to show up. There's a lot of people that are here today. You've been hoping for something. You've been hoping for a healing of a relationship. You've been hoping for the salvation of a son or daughter. You've been hoping for financial blessing. You've been hoping for things to turn around in your family. And it's in those moments of hoping, in those moments of waiting, where our faith is refined. And we're reminded that we don't live by what we see, we live by faith. And I want to ask you this morning something. What are you hoping for? What is it that you are believing for? What is the promise that you are hanging on to God for? And if you haven't received it, like Simeon, who had to wait 113 years, my word to all of us today would be, hang on. Keep hoping. Keep believing. Keep trusting that God will reveal himself to you and answer the very thing that you are believing God for. I don't know what you're hoping for today. But hope, the Bible says, is an anchor to our soul. And hope gives us that faith to believe that one day we're going to see what God has promised. God is faithful. Can I get an amen? Amen. A couple things I want to look at this story, and for some of us, the first time we've ever seen this story. Story of Christmas. The story of Simeon. Incredible story. And we're going to talk about how to celebrate with hopeful expectation. Oh, by the way, Simeon, his name means to hear. Can I remind you today that your hearing is critical now more than ever? Of your senses, hearing is the most critical. Because we don't live by what we see, we live by faith. And you're going to see here in the story that Simeon, he had the ability to hear the Spirit of God prepare his heart so that he would be ready to see the thing that he had been believing for. His ears were open. His ears were in tune. He was sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And by the way, I want you to notice in this story, like all of the Christmas story, the Holy Spirit is involved in every major character in the Christmas story. Amen. Elizabeth, she was pregnant with John the Baptist, and when she came in the presence of Mary, the Bible says that her belly leaped, the Holy Spirit leaped within her. The angel came to Mary and said, "You're conceived now," and I don't understand this, but "you're conceived now by the Holy Spirit." Zechariah stood up and prophesied the beautiful story of Christmas. So the Holy Spirit is involved in every aspect of this Christmas story that we're looking at today, especially Simeon. So here's 5 points, or 6 points, real quickly. If you're with me, let me hear an amen. Amen. Number one, if you want to learn how to celebrate with hopeful expectation, determine to live a righteous, devoted life to honor God. Determine these next 40 days that you're going to live a righteous life devoted to God. I love this in verse 25. It says, "There was a man in Jerusalem." Oh, he wasn't just some man. He was a man that God had chosen to be part of the Christmas story, and he was righteous and he was devout. I love that. Wasn't the best looking, wasn't the smartest, didn't have the most money, but the Bible says that God chose Simeon because he was a righteous man and he was devoted. I love this story because he's an unlikely character. He wasn't the class president. He didn't have it all together. But the Bible says that Simeon was a righteous and devout man. And if we're going to get a revelation of who Jesus is this Christmas season, we got to make the determination and the choice today that we're going to live a life of righteousness and holiness. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that's what Simeon was. Let me ask you a question today. What do you want to be remembered as? Who do you want to be remembered by? What do you want people to say about you? And the choices and the decisions that we make now determine our destiny and our legacy. And he had an incredible legacy. Just an unlikely character, but he was righteous and devout. You know my prayers for you this Christmas season, these next 40 days? You're going to choose righteousness. You're going to choose holiness. You're going to choose to live in the footsteps of Simeon, a guy who had his ears in tune with what God was doing, and he wasn't perfect. He didn't have it all together. But God just says, "I like you, Simeon. You're an unlikely candidate. And I like you because you're trying your best to live a life of holiness and a life of purity." Are y'all with me this morning? Now, this is what happens during Christmas. I know it because I've had 64 years of Christmases. You know what we do at Christmas time? Watch this. We slack off. We tell ourselves we've worked hard for the last 11 months, and the month of Christmas, I'm gonna slack off. And we eat that extra cookie. We drink that extra glass of wine. We're not as devout because we've work so hard these 11 months, and I need a break. Can I challenge all of us today to live in the legacy and the destiny of Simeon? Let it be said of us that we lived a righteous, devout life. That's how you celebrate with hopeful expectation. Amen. And I'm not mad at anybody. We're just friends here. We're just talking. Does that mean you can't have an extra cookie? Absolutely not. It does mean that we've got to be a little bit more diligent these next 40 days and not slack off. We need to lean in. Amen. And say, God, I want to see you. God, I want to wait with hopeful expectation. I want to celebrate the real purpose and the meaning of Christmas. Because if you don't, you will get that present you've been waiting for. You'll get that promotion you've been looking for. You'll get the bonus that you're praying for. But did you miss Jesus this Christmas? Let's wait with hopeful expectation, living a life of righteousness and devotion to God. Can I get an amen? Amen? Number two, choose to wait patiently with the Holy Spirit's help. One of the ways that you can wait for hopeful expectation is to wait patiently. Verse 25 says, and Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Now stay with me here. The Holy Spirit can empower you to be patient. And none of us like to be patient. Do you know that patience is a fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. Patience? And what I love about Simeon, he waited. I don't have the numbers. I should have done that. I ran out of time this week. 113 years times 365, that's a lot of days waiting patiently. Can I tell you, church, God's going to show up. God's going to reveal himself to you. It's not going to be the way you think it is. It's not going to be the way you design it, but God is going to show up if we find ourselves like Simeon, waiting patiently. God, I'm waiting for your coming. I'm waiting this Christmas season, this Advent season. I want to see you. I want to celebrate you, and I'm waiting patiently. Here's a few forces that are against patience. Number one, busyness. The first force of patience, the first enemy of patience, is busyness. Number two, selfishness. These are not in your notes. These are all free of charge here today. Busyness, selfishness, pride, control. You're waiting in line in Publix, and you're 12 people back. You know why you're mad? Because you've lost control. And we like to control. We like to be in charge. We like to call the shots. And God says, I want you to wait patiently. Instant gratification and doubt. Six enemies of patience. Busyness, selfishness, pride, control, instant gratification, and doubt. Let's be like Simeon today and choose to wait patiently and let the Holy Spirit help you. How many are here today and your wife knows you are. So just admit it. How many of you here today are impatient? Can I see your hand? Lift them up real high. Look at that. Oh, the Holy Spirit's moving. Look at this. Every hand lifted. Guess what? If you look at the scripture, it was the Holy Spirit that empowered Simeon to be patient. Ask for the Holy Spirit to help you. He will help you to develop the fruit of the Spirit called patience. Number three, faithfully hold on with hopeful expectation. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Messiah. If you want to celebrate today, the Advent, hold faithfully, hold on faithfully with hopeful expectation. You believe him for healing. You believe him for a miracle. You believe him for financial change. You believe him for, hold on to that thing. God is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. He's faithful. Hold on to it. Don't waver. Don't give in to doubt. But hold, believing that God's going to come through for you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Number four, allow the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you. Look at verse 27. And Simeon was moved by the Spirit. And he went into the temple courts when the parents brought the child in for him to do what was the custom of the law required. He, Simeon, was led by the Holy Spirit. You know what my prayer is this week, in this month, in these next 40 days? That you and I will be led by the Spirit. Not led by what we want to do. Not led by what our heart says. But the next 40 days we say, God, this is my day. You know what I've got to do. Help me in the midst of what I have planned to allow you to move. And when you do that, church, great things happen. Because the Holy Spirit will always empower you and move you to be a blessing to other people. Allow the Holy Spirit to move and to help you. You know, I hear comments all the time about our church. One of the things I hear, the best, is that we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and move. Can I get an amen? And that's just not for here in the sanctuary. It should be a part of our everyday life. Where you're looking and you're analyzing and you're watching and you're hearing, like Simeon, and you're saying, God, what do I need to do? Help me to move me and allow me to do what you need me to do. And good things happen. Number four, I love this one. This Christmas season, cultivate a heart of God-focused worship. And Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he praised God. Sovereign Lord, you have promised. You may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of all your people, Israel. Simeon had a heart that was focused on God, and his worship was focusing on God's goodness. I love that. I don't know what kind of songs you're going to be singing these next 40 days. I mean, grandma getting run over by a reindeer. That's fun. I get it. That's cute. Is that song really going to get you to prepare your heart for the coming of Jesus on December 25th? See, I love, Simeon took the baby. And this is a crazy scene here, and we don't have time to get into it. We got to go here in a few minutes. But Simeon was a priest. He was getting ready to circumcise Jesus. Now, I'm not going to get into all that. This is a kid's service here today. And that's really not my thing. I really don't understand. Obviously, it was purification and sanctification and a setting apart. But there was going to be a surgery here today. And in the middle of the surgery, Simeon breaks out and says, I'm going to honor you, God. I'm going to begin to sing. I'm going to begin to honor you and worship you. What was Simeon doing? His worship, his passion was God-focused. That's what we want these next 40 days. God-focused worship. In the middle of a surgery, Simeon breaks out in beautiful, holy worship. God, I love you. I thank you. You've allowed me to see the Messiah. I honor you. See, I'm afraid sometimes the songs we sing in our worship, they're really focused on us and not God. We need to be careful that we're singing songs that are not about bless me, help me, comfort me. That's all good, and we need those songs, but we need to be singing songs that are God focused and God-honoring. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Bruce, if you'll go to the keyboard and play a God-honoring song here for a moment. Number five, cultivate a heart of God-focused worship. There's nothing wrong with Christmas music. In my house, we have a rule. We break it every year because Tammy doesn't like my rule. No Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. Wow, April 1st it starts. And I mean, just, and then. And in the Hallmark movies. God, I need your help, Lord. I need patience. I'm going from watching Alabama and Auburn to, I know what's going to happen. It's all scripted out. The developer comes into the city, going to build a complex, and he falls in love with a lady who's got a bunch of dogs, and help me, Lord. Let's be sure, this Christmas season, we got songs that are honoring, focused on God. That will help your heart to prepare for the coming of Jesus. He's coming. I'm afraid some of us are going to miss him. We've been focusing on Santa and old Saint Nick and Rudolph. Those are all good. Moms and dads, play good, God-focused worship during this Christmas season. It will make all the difference. And then number six, we're going to go. By the way, I need you guys to pray for me this week. No, seriously. Let's see. I joke around too much. Now I really mean it. Now you're like, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow morning joining 1,000 pastors and Christian leaders all over America for the largest in the history of Israel. They're assembling 1,000 Christian pastors and leaders, and they are paying all the expenses to fly us over to Jerusalem. We're meeting with the mayor, we're meeting with the ambassador of Israel, and they're trying to cultivate in America a heart of compassion and a heart of worship. And so they're flying, so I'm flying out tomorrow morning, and I need your prayers. Can you pray for me and pray for us that that will be, in fact, look, the Jerusalem Post, it's already making the news. It hasn't even started. It starts tomorrow. A Bless Israel prayer event. We're going to pray for Israel. And they're paying for everything, which is amazing. I need your prayers. And then I fly back, and then the very next day, I've been invited to have a luncheon with a small group of Christian pastors in the state of Florida with Governor DeSantis at the governor's mansion. And he's got concerns and issues about 2026 and religious freedom and religious issues that are facing the state. And so I've been invited to go to that too, and I need your prayers. Because I want to be led by the Spirit. And I want to allow God to use me to make a difference, not only in our church, in our community, in the GMC, but around the world. And I can't do it without you, so thank you for your prayers. Amen. And hopefully they don't have Hallmark movies in the Holy Land. Number six. I love this one. This is my favorite. Parents, listen. Carefully speak uplifting words to bless and to comfort. Simeon hands Jesus back to his mom and dad. And then it says, and Simeon blessed them. You know this, the first words God ever spoke to mankind was, I bless you. You know this. The first words in Jesus' first sermon, Matthew chapter 5, blessed. Simeon catches the DNA of God the Father. And before this scene is finished, he takes Jesus, he hands him back to Mary and Joseph, and then he blesses them. There is something powerful when a mom and dad, when a grandma, lay their hands on their children and their grandchildren and speak these words, I bless you. You don't have to do anything to earn my love. You don't have to do anything to earn my acceptance. You are blessed, and I love you. If I was a parent, and I am, and a grandparent, these next 40 days, I'm going to look for opportunities to lay my hands on my kids and my grandkids and simply bless them. It's powerful. And Simeon illustrates this in this beautiful story. He didn't preach a sermon. He blessed them. Blessed them. I did it every morning. My kids go off to school. Austin, Aaron, Allie, Amanda. I just bless them. I wanted them to hear their dad say, I love you and I believe in you, but I bless you. So watch this real quick. My granddaughter, Heidi, she's 3 now. And when we strap her into that seat, and it takes me 25 minutes to figure out all the... And I get her in her seat. God is my witness. Tammy will tell you. I say, Heidi, before we leave, I'm going to bless you. And immediately she does this. Hopeful expectation. G-Pops, bless me. G-Pops, put your hand on my head and tell me that you believe in me and I have God's blessing as I navigate through this world. It's powerful. Simeon illustrates the power of blessing. And his heart was prepared and he saw what he believed God for. And I want that to happen for you these next 40 days. Would you stand up across the auditorium as we get ready to dismiss?